I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Slipping through my fingers all the time, I try to capture every minute, the feeling in it, slipping through me fingers all the time.
Ah, to hell with this. Hello everybody, welcome to Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who discussion podcast with your two best friends, live and in the flesh. It's Damler.
And it's Elliot.
What's up? Hello everybody.
What is happening? Oh my God, I feel rusty.
I am rusty. How did? Yes, we're back. We're back. People have been, I want to say, complaining because we didn't have a plan. Neither of us had a plan. We didn't care. But we're back from Christmas break. So, how fun? Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did have a really nice Christmas. I properly rested. Good. Like I actually did nothing except eat.
I love your Christmas. Thank you.
Right, hold on. You got to let me do the dramatic pause. Hold on.
Dramatic pause. Wait. Disguised as rudeness. Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Elliot, how was your Christmas?
Yeah, it was all right.
See?
It's Christmas, isn't it? It's, you know, 2 months of build-up and then it comes and it's, you know, it's all right.
And it's all shit again.
That's what it is. Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's nice. Nice to see family. Nice to see mum and dad. And really, Christmas didn't end for me until last weekend because we went home to see family that we couldn't see at Christmas. So, you know, I've been crimboing hard. Ooh, crimbo, don't like that.
Crimmas.
Yeah, Crimmas. But alas, it's 2024, another year.
It is. And we're back to talk about the 60-year specials. It's been like, what, 5 years? Like,
we don't rush content because we can't be bothered anyway.
No, look, we needed to respect the art in its entirety. I've said that like 5 times to justify our reasoning, but that's genuinely the reasoning.
Yeah, you know, we could have jumped on it and given wild speculation and not done them very well, or we could not do them very well but also have had time to digest them, and that's what we're doing now.
Yep.
You know, it's 2024. We're brand new. We're reinvigorated. This is not a new series, but also it kind of is because we kind of crashed halfway through season four to do this. Kind of like crashing into Isaac Newton's tree. Not a euphemism. But I know everyone's excited to hear us talk about the Star Beast. Not me so much. But what do we do first?
What we do first is three emails.
Yes, I have three randomly selected emails because I liked the names of the people.
Always randomly selected.
Always randomly selected. And again, don't think that this is me trying to deter you from emailing in. It is not. But, my God, there's another backlog that's built up. So, a bunch of these are from like September or October.
Sorry.
I liked your names and I liked what you had to say. So, in no particular order, our first email is from Michelle, my Belle.
Sorry. You know I love
that
song.
I don't even particularly like it, but you know, it's just fun to say, isn't it? And it goes as follows. I'm already going to butcher some pronunciation, I'm sure. It says, don't laugh. It says, Kia ora, brackets. Hello, Elliot and Damla. I am a New Zealand listener to your podcast. I'm as old as Doctor Who and have watched it various times in my life. I have loved your discussions and interpretations of the episodes. I got a lot of catching up to do as I'm only up to the Doctor dances and it may take me a while to catch up. I might try listening to the newest while catching up from the other end. Timey-wimey. You guys may be the same age as my children. Hello. But that is something about the way you talk about Doctor Who that has had me laughing and also opened my eyes to things I miss, probably from being an old cis woman. There are very few people I can relate to with Doctor Who, as none of my children or grandchildren are interested, sadly, despite my trying. I'm currently watching the show, and I'm currently up to Series 6. That's a New Who, sorry, I should have said that, in anticipation of the 60th anniversary. So excited that Doctor Who is coming back. Hope you're both well, and looking forward to getting to know you more from listening in. Keep up the fantastic words. Cheers. I didn't realise that was a New Zealand expression. Michelle.
Aww.
Thank you. And thank you for what I would assume is the New Zealand greeting at the top there. Very, very kind.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle, my Belle. Love ya. Love ya.
Our next email has a fantastic joke in it that I it is mostly a visual one, but we'll try and replicate it here. So. Okay. The email goes as follows. Hi, Dan and Elliot. My name is Ryan, spelled R-I-A-N. Said just like Ryan, I'm just cooler. So, you see, when you see that written down, very good. I've no doubt made it less funny by trying.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
To read it out. Anyway, Ryan says, I recently found your podcast. I'm about halfway through and I'm absolutely obsessed. The show came out when I was born, though, and I've only been such a huge fan of the show from the age of 9 when my dad introduced it to me. I have ADHD. Slay. And for many years, my show was an intense hyperfixation of mine. I was even a weeping angel for Halloween in fourth grade. I'd kind of fallen out of the fandom, but a few weeks ago I was scrolling on Instagram and came across your page. Oh, I'm sorry. And I started listening and right away I remembered why I love the show so much and fell in love with your dynamic and the goofiness of the podcast. It is pretty goofy. You guys are so fun and are bringing much needed joy to me in my senior year of high school. I have started watching the show once again and I'm obsessed. Thank you guys for being so awesome and sweet and funny. And bringing such a wonderful show back to me in a hilarious podcast. I wish you both the best. Lots of love, Ryan. And yes, you can read this on the podcast. Well, good fucking news, Ryan. I've just done that.
Just did it, babe. So, thank you so much for those lovely words.
You know the thing that you said I could do? Just did it. Yeah.
Just did it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan. Like Ryan, but cooler. Thank you. And our final email, it's the third one. That's what makes them three males. It's not four males or two males, as some of you have suggested. So, shush. Anyway, it goes as follows. Hello, I would like to thank you for this podcast. I discovered it through Instagram and I saw your reels and convinced me to finally start watching Doctor Who. I'm so glad I found the podcast. I was looking for something like this, a fun podcast with a queer point of view in fandoms that are not targeted to queer audience, but for a broad audience. And your comments are great and so funny. So thanks. And that is from Carolina. Thank you, Carolina.
Thank you for that. And I love that someone's found us through Instagram for once.
Yeah, I love being found through Instagram. I like reels, they're better.
Yeah, Instagram is just a nicer place to be, I find.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Come Along Pond podcast on Instagram. Get to know. As I always say, every fucking week. Damn it.
But
damn it.
That is the three miles down. The very first rummaging of my New Year sack is over. And we're back in business. But I don't know. There's a smell. It's quite nice. It's tuna madras.
Roll the damn smelly credits. Hoo-wee! Woo!
Also, I can't overstate to you how fucking horrible a tuna madras sounds. I mean, I don't like fish, so just the idea of tuna.
Yeah.
I don't mind like a tuna sandwich or whatever, but you know, tuna in a madras, just terrible, absolutely terrible. Every time she says it, I'm like, oh.
Just no, Sylvia. No, Han.
No. I'd rather eat the big sausage roll.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, speaking of things that probably taste absolutely disgusting in curry, today we're talking about episode one of, I don't know, we're talking about the first episode of the 65th anniversary specials of Doctor Who. It is called The Star Beast. It was broadcast on the 25th of November, 2023, directed by Rachel Talalay, and it was written by Russell T Davies.
Hell yeah! How good does it feel to say that?
Very weird. Very, very weird. And weird as well. This is obviously our first time talking about an episode that's directed by Rachel Talalay as well.
It's, do you know what? There's a lot of firsts time, and also just firsts in general.
A lot of firsts.
But you know what? You know what, Elliot? There's something that I want to know before we get into it. And that is, you know, I know what Google thinks it's about. I'm already fucking it up. I want to know what you think the episode's about, because I know what Google thinks it's about. I know what IMDb thinks it's about. I know what Wikipedia, I think, thinks it's about. I want to know what you think it's about. What's the episode about?
Again, we always like to do these off the cuff because it makes it more fun, but also sometimes you just have nothing to say.
And sometimes it's just like, I just can't speak.
Yeah. Look, it's, you know, there's lots of things that you could say the episode's about, but truly it's about how the most important thing you can be, especially if you're a cis man, is just a wife guy. Be a wife guy. Wife guys are cool. We love wife guys.
Yes, be a Sean. Be a Sean. Yeah.
Not to be confused with five guys.
No.
Be a wife guy.
Wife guy. Always uplift women, okay?
Yeah. Even when they're
always
wrong. I support women's rights and women's wrongs.
Exactly. Speaking of that, kind of similar, what I think the episode's about is how men know nothing.
It's true.
I won't be elaborating on it on that any further.
Because
Donna said it perfectly.
It's all right, love, Sean. He's just happy to be there.
He's happy to be there. And honestly, Catherine Tate's delivery of, and you know nothing, lives rent-free in my head.
I tell you who's not happy to be there. Me, mostly.
Right. Okay, listen. Listen, here we go. Here we go. Right. So, I rewatched this episode last night, the night before we recorded. Because I like
I
to have...
it an hour ago.
No, I know. You like it really fresh. I don't. I like to sleep on it. You know what I mean? And I have to say this. When I was first watching it, the hype was so intense. And so, like, we were actually, like, screaming, weren't we? We were literally like, oh my God, it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes. I'll see you on the other side. I'm going to stop messaging you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went and did our Instagram live. Everything was heightened. It was all happening. And that's not to say that I think this episode's bad for me. Throwback. For me, it's a fun ride. But there is many, many things to say about it, which we'll get into now. But first, before I go any further, I just want to say, Elliot, you know what we did get in this episode? That was fucking iconic.
What?
We got a Nerys reference.
Yeah!
We win.
Counting away Nerys references. She's no Shireen, but she'll do.
Love Nerys. Yeah. And the fact that when we were on our Instagram live, which if you missed, you can go watch on our Instagram, there were so many people in the comments that were like, oh, when Nerys was referenced, I thought of you too. Honoured. So honoured that we came to your mind when Nerys was referenced. Iconic.
As you should. I love Nerys. This is also my third time watching this.
Is it? This is my second time.
It's my third. I watched it, see, broadcast, and then watched it with a friend maybe a week later or like a few days later. It was a few days later because it was before Wild Blue Yonder. And then I watched it tonight. I watched my 60th anniversary Blu-ray that I got for Christmas, which you can buy at Amazon now.
Not sponsored, but also...
Come on.
Come on now.
Amazon.co.uk. Help me stay Blu-rayed up. So I was interested to see if there was, you know, any differences or whatever, you know, and I felt quite sanctimonious going like, I'm going to put the Blu-ray in.
I love that.
It was exactly the same, of course. Yeah. But the fun menu.
Is it a good menu?
Reading it. I mean, it's like that promo still of them, but David's just kind of reaching out to you. It's very, you know, like, ooh.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's not good, but it's like, you know, it's
what
cheeky.
Happened to the old school box sets? Like, for example, Series 4 box set, if you know, you know. Davros, the little Davros voice in the TARDIS with the TARDIS burning. Iconic.
The Series 1 to 4 has a very, very... Or the original sort of DVD and Blu-ray around the Series 1 to 4 have a very good, cohesive main menu scheme.
So good. My favourite is... The TARDIS is a weapon and it will be destroyed. Every time that comes on, I'm like, hey, let's go! Hey, hey, hey! Such a slay. Anyway, buy physical media.
Buy physical media. I do want to say that. I don't necessarily think this episode's bad. It's not, but I do think that it is also not very good.
It's interesting.
I contain layers. I'm like an onion.
Nuance is the thing.
Nuance. Every time we get something good, we also get something kind of bad. Like, the opening, kind of bad. Pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, like, right. Are we talking about the intro or the beginning of the episode? Two different things.
Now, you see, I've come around on the intro. I think the intro now is high camp. Like, ridiculous. Kind of, like, objectively bad, but, like, it's really fun that he's just, like, standing against that background. You know, it's whatever. At the time, I was like, oh, no. And now I'm like, you know, we're having fun here. But the actual opening of the episode, when he lands in Camden, objectively awful, in my opinion.
Yeah. I just want to say...
What's going on?
I just want to say, before we talk about the opening in Camden, I do want to talk about the intro really quick. So, if you've watched the episode, you know, at the start, the very start, David's floating in space.
Yeah. I mean, he's just, yeah, standing. It's like, yeah.
It's so bad. It looks so bad. And Donna's sitting at her like dining table talking about something she's forgotten. It's really actually not good. It's actually really cringy and awful. But when I was watching it yesterday, I was like, I'm having a good time, whatever. Because like, when it was first broadcast, I watched this with my partner and I looked to him and we were both cackling. I had tears in my eyes. I was like, why is my guy floating in space? Like, it was...
And he's like just... so serious as well.
So you know, serious. Like, and then he's like, my face has come back. And it's like...
He's like a floating JPEG that once upon a time.
Yeah.
Once upon he's a like, time, Lord. I'm like, what's going on here?
It's so silly. But the thing is, it's like, you do get some of the remastered footage in there, don't you? From Series 4, which was fun.
Yeah. And you could have just started, I feel like, with a highlight reel of Series 4.
Exactly. Like a montage. A really well-edited montage. Yeah.
Yeah, without sort of necessarily needing it. But it's fun. I'm having fun. You know, it's all exposition that comes up later in the episode, so it really isn't necessary at all.
That's the thing, it's so unnecessary. And it's like, the thing is, I get why they've done it, because a lot of people, you know, we've said it in our mailbag a little bit, but a lot of people haven't watched the show for like 10 years, 15 years, since Tennant left. Like most people in my life that I know, unfortunately, most people didn't stick around for Matt Smith and beyond. And they've come back to the show with fresh eyes. That's just a fact. That is how it is. So they needed a little bit of a reminder. But I think, like you say, it could have been done with a well-edited montage. It didn't. We didn't need the green screen nonsense. But we move. It's high camp. Love it.
Or, you know, a bit of narration if you really want to add some...
Over the montage, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But, hey, what, yeah, what...
what are you going to do, Barney? What are you going to do?
We got David Tennant for 10 minutes and a green screen. That's all we can do.
The Camden stuff. So I will say, I love the fact, I still love that Camden is like a big kind of character almost in the 60th. It's so fun because, I mean, I don't go to Camden very much because it's awful. Sorry. Oh,
it is
sorry.
Terrible.
It's just, it's sensory overload.
Busy. It's busy. It's loud. Yeah. You know, people, you know, put drugs in your hand. And then,
it's expensive. Yeah. It smells.
It's just full of hipster wankers, you know?
It really is. But they do have good restaurants there. So the next time I go there, probably just for a specific restaurant, I will be walking around like, not me in the Doctor Who episode. You know? But yeah, it's not... So at the start of the episode, I so agree with you. Watching it again, I'm like, what are we doing?
I think this episode... And I know, you know, you're going to be like, oh, of course you're going to want to defend Russell T Davies, of course, because, you know, you're a fan and you love him. But I, for ages, you know, because I've messaged you being like, I can't tell if it's the script, if it's the editing, I don't know what it is. I think watching it this time, I was like, no, actually, I think the script is perfectly, sort of competently put together. You know, like, I'm not saying it's perfect, it's not. But it flows really well and tells quite a cohesive story. But the directing of the material is very, very poor. Rachel Talalay might not be a good director, I'm saying it, it's fine.
Oh, we're gonna get some comments.
Like, but the scripting idea of landing immediately next to Donna is like fun. That's funny. I can feel that playing out as a comedic moment, but it's so flat. It's so stilted. It's so weirdly directed. And it comes up a couple times where there's things that I think the script is communicating that they're saying in dialogue that I can almost feel where the inserts and things should be to show you, and they're not being filmed, and it all just feels really awkward. I don't know, maybe it's just too... I don't know, like, we get back to some cheap-looking TV next week, and it's much better for it. Like, this, again, is too... It's too American. It's too flash-looking, but it misses out all the important details, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I think for me, the main thing, because I agree with what you said as well, all of that, but I think for me, the main thing is, right, so obviously the point being, the Doctor, something really traumatic can happen, the Doctor's just going to go, emotions, going to push those down, keep it moving. And obviously that comes back round in the giggle gaggle doodle. But it's so jarring to just be like, you know, 13's just regenerated, it's all a bit mad, and then 14's walking out of the TARDIS like, oh, love Camden. Obviously doesn't say that, but you know, hands in pockets, looking around like he's in the next Doctor, like the literal parallels to that opening of that episode, but that one was done better. You know, and it's just like, this is happening too quickly. It was too quick for me. And it was like, where's the Sonic reveal, right? Where's the Sonic reveal, first of all? We're just using a new Sonic. Where did that come from? Not everyone's reading comics. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, see, I see. I like all that stuff. I'm bored of fans going, I've had 60 years of these stories telling the exact same plot beats over and over and over again ad nauseum.
But
and
I this like time that I didn't do beat.
It.
And
I got, I don't. It's so boring. I don't care. I got the new psych. It's like, I enjoy The Woman Who Fell to Earth, but the fact it's like an hour of just going, she's almost the Doctor. I kind of like this approach they're taking with this and Church on Ruby Road, spoilers, where they're just like, yeah, it's the Doctor. Deal with it. Like, I
can't wait to talk about Church on Ruby Road. Oh my fucking God.
But I like that we just get into it, but yes. We still do get into it too quickly.
Yes. Okay, fair. You know, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would not want a Sonic reveal to take its place, but I'd still want maybe, you know, just don't have him beaming as soon as he leaves the TARDIS. Have him looking a bit confused, you know, whatever. Like, I don't know. Even David's performance is bad in the Camden stuff. I'm saying it is. When he takes the boxes off of Donna and realizes it's her, and then puts them back and walks away, it's not. There's no coherency between the comedy that it's trying to do and the thing. It just doesn't work. It's so weird. I kind of hate it.
Yeah, it's very.
I'm watching it at the time.
I'm gonna say this now. I'm gonna say it, and I don't care. If this was, so let's say Russell never came back and Chris Chibnall was still on it, but Jodie had left, but Chris stayed on as a writer and all of this. If this was a Chris Chibnall episode, I'm really going to say it. If it was a Chris Chibnall episode, most people wouldn't like the Star Beast, and I'm just saying how it is. Sorry.
Yeah, but it also still would be worse written.
No, it would be, but I'm just saying, like, because there's certain things, like, and as a Russell fan to my core, like, I've said before, he is my religion. Like, I love him so much. It's just not quite there. And I don't like that we're starting off on a negative note, but it's our truth and it's how we feel.
If the opening is bad, we can't, you know, you can't pretend that it's good to start on a positive. It's bad. The opening's bad.
The opening is bad. And also, something I want to say now, because it will come up later, but like, I felt that the pacing in this was just completely all over the place.
Yeah, the pacing is like interesting.
It's really interesting.
Mind you, the pacing of all the specials is quite odd.
Absolutely.
In my opinion. Except for the giggle, actually. I don't mind the... I know a lot of people have issues with the pacing of the giggle. I actually think it's quite... handles everything it needs to handle actually quite well. But like, even Wild Yonder kind of rushes to an end.
I just can't help but feel that this episode... So to me, the Star Beast feels the most 60th special out of all of them, which is insane when you know what happens in the giggle. Do you know what I'm saying? But like, in terms of like, we're doing a tribute to this show, we're celebrating 60 years, it has all of the things, but it's just not quite...
Which is probably why it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's just not quite delivering. It's just
because all anniversaries suck.
I don't agree with that. You know, I don't agree with that. You know, I love the 50th. You know, I love that fucking episode.
You know what I? You know that I think they're all boring, tepid fan wank.
That's going to be such a fun episode though, because it's going to be like, I love this. You're going to be like, yeah, well, I thought it was fucking shit.
I don't even hate it. I'm just like, you know, yeah, cool. Action scenes in my Doctor Who. People using sonic screwdrivers as weapons is fun, isn't it? Wow, cool. Yay.
Yay. Well, anyway, yeah. I want to say something that I really loved, though. And I would say something that I thought was throughout all of the specials, but especially in this episode, David and Catherine were back on form for me personally. Like, even though the opening isn't good, I really don't like the opening, and you don't like the opening. Personally, for me, I just thought Catherine Tate in this episode, she really fucking brought it. Like, she really said, yeah. I have bills that need to be paid. I heard cut. No, you said cut. I heard cunt. That's what happened.
Nice. Do you know what I mean? Good save there.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's the fumble. Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, like, she saves the opening scene by being funny.
She's great. I mean, Rose. What? I mean, that was so funny. That was hilarious. I did love that. I can't lie.
Yeah, like, she saves it. My personal opinion, though, actually, is that, you know, yeah, of course they have good chemistry. They're going to have good chemistry. I'm not surprised that they have good chemistry. I do think they have a couple of spots in the episode where they do feel a bit not well performed, for me personally. The only actor who returns to Doctor who feels, or even is new in the world of Doctor who feels 100% committed to their performance and gives a stellar performance where I don't disbelieve a thing they say for a second, is Jacqueline King as Sylvia.
I have to agree 100%. Yes.
She's so just back in that role straight away, 100%. Like,
nothing's changed.
She's the only one where there is not a single moment where I go, eh.
Yeah.
Everyone else, they just have a little moment. As much as I love Yasmin Finney, there are a couple of moments where I go, maybe she's actually not that good at acting. You know. It's fine. You know? She's brilliant. I love her.
I think what it is, right, no, because I, look, I have to, look.
Right. Right.
I have to agree with everything you just said. I can't even lie. Like, I really can't even, like, Jacqueline King really came and it was like nothing had changed. No time had passed. But what had changed, though, obviously, was, which is something about the story that I really loved, actually, was we didn't have to explain it. You can just see that Donna and Sylvia, their relationship has evolved so much and they are on the same level now. And Sylvia really is on Donna's level and, like, does all of that kind of condescending energy and all of that. We love growth. She's just not bringing Donna down like she used to. And, like, you can tell that they talk on the same level and they're just with it now, which I loved.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it makes sense as well, because surely, you know, you even though you don't, even though she never necessarily liked the Doctor, you know, to know that she's had that taken away from her.
Yeah.
You'd have to be exceptionally cruel to then be horrible to her.
Exactly. And also just this family dynamic. I believed it wholeheartedly. Like, Sean, Rose, Donna, Sylvia, like, the love in that family is absolutely wild. And, like, you know, I think it's a good time to kind of talk about Rose's character, because something that I really like, because there's, I think, one of my favourite bits of the episode is literally, again, in that, there's like that conversation with Donna and Sylvia, but then it's like, you know, Rose has just come in the house with Donna after they were in Camden. They came home and obviously Rose was dead named, which caused a lot of ruckus online, which I don't really understand. But anyway.
I hate all you fucking people.
Like,
sorry.
Yeah, no, literally.
Who aren't even, you know, trans or non-binary, but hate seeing anything negative about queer people ever happen in media. And you're boring as fuck. I fucking hate you.
No, it's literally
so bad.
This is the thing. What I don't understand about that, because, I mean, look, again, it's part of the nature of these episodes is, you know, people are going to say what they want to say. And I think what I found absolutely baffling was, like, we can't just, like, you can't always just have a character and not have a bit of their struggle. And Rose's main struggle is coming to terms with her identity, right? And
yeah,
if Yasmin Finney was okay with that line and all of that stuff as a trans woman, how is it problematic? I'm confused. How is it actually problematic? And also, well,
it's not happening for no reason, is it? You know what I mean? You're not meant to side with the characters. Like, it really, you know, it don't matter.
I just didn't understand all of that uproar. But then, like I say, so the bit that I really loved was when, yeah, Rose has gone to the shed and Sylvia is talking to Donna. And it just felt very natural, this conversation where she was just like, oh, I just said she looked gorgeous. Is that the right thing to say? I don't know. And then Sylvia accidentally slipped up with Rose's pronouns. And then but the thing is, like, they are trying and they love her so much and they are putting their all into Rose. And it's just like, Donna being a lioness, that's something that Russell said on Unleashed, which I've really been enjoying, by the way. I love Unleashed. And Russell said, Donna Noble being a lioness, like this mother that is so loving and so passionate about her daughter. It's so lovely to see. And I have to agree, like, just these really realistic kind of representations of, like, you know, there's this new dynamic in the family, there's a new thing going on, and they're just handling it with so much care and respect. Do you know what I mean? I just really like that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice.
It's really nice and refreshing, I think. With Rose, I love Rose. And I think we're literally just seeing the surface of what she's about to be, because we know that she's now going to be in the new series. Slay! Love that. There's a line when Meep is in the living room and the doctor assumes that the Meep goes by he, him pronouns, right? And then Rose says, oh, you're just assuming that the Meep is a he, you know, assuming he in pronouns. And the doctor's like, oh yeah, you know, oh actually, well, you know, are you he, she, they, you know? And at first when I heard it, I was like, that was a bit of a clunky line. And it is a bit of a clunky line. But you know what I love? Russell basically just went, if you don't like it, yeah, it ain't for you and you need to click off. It's, I'm here, I'm queer, it's happening, it's a thing. Because the language needs to be heard and, you know, taken in, because a lot of people just assume that it's just like, we're going to be quiet about it. And it's like, no.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No. Yeah. Like, gender-neutral language doesn't really exist in this country. And I don't mean that in the way where people are like, you know, that is not a real word. It's which it is. You're just a fucking idiot. Yeah. What I mean is that the default piece of gender-neutral language, at least in English-speaking countries, is always he. Because misogynistic.
Yeah.
you know, and like, that is a very real thing that would happen, is people just assuming, you know. And again, I think it's just the baggage that goes along with it, right? You know what I mean? I don't even necessarily think it's a particularly clunky line. I think it's just, you have the baggage of going, you know, ugh, people make jokes about assuming pronouns all the time. The phrase assume with the phrase pronoun just sounds horrible, because I know that this is a thing that is a joke, and it just sounds, you know, it gets the back of your neck, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck standing up, because you just sort of go like, oh, like, you know, how, like, the people I'm watching this with, how are they going to feel about that? Like, you know, because it's such a thing, you know. I had to watch, and he will never listen to this, so I don't mind saying it, I had to watch Wild Blue Yonder with, you know, a fucking idiot who, you know, thinks that recasting, you know, white people with actors of Asian descent is, you know, some kind of heresy against, you know, British
oh,
whiteness.
Here we go, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just madness. And don't worry, I told him he was a prick.
Good, yeah.
But,
love,
you know,
that.
These people exist. These people exist. It happens, you know? So it's a very, it can just get very, sometimes, because you're not 100% sure how it's going to be received. And, you know, that's probably partly our fault, you know? We shouldn't be so defensive, but you have to be.
Yeah.
And I think that makes that moment feel clunkier than it is. Now I know it happens. It's fine. Just watch
it.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it for the little moment that it is.
I think that's a really good observation, actually. I think that's literally why, because we're so defensive. We're so defensive of these things. And it's like, you know, Rose said the correct thing. She said the correct thing. She was like, you just assumed Meep's pronouns, which is true. You did. You know what I mean?
Which again,
like,
sounds like a joke when you say it, but you know, it's true.
It's, I mean, Jesus Christ, when BB-8 was a thing, people were just like so obsessed with giving BB-8 a pronoun. It's like, it's a robot that rolls around. It's a ball. It's a ball that moves. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And like, everyone's guilty of it. You know what I mean? I would without thought, I would call R2-D2 him. Why?
Yeah.
It's just a metal and blue trash can.
It's literally a trash can. And
so, you know.
You know. I love BB-8. Would die for BB-8. You know who I also would die for? The Meep.
Shirley Ann Bingham? Oh, okay.
Yes. Oh, no. Hold on. Wait. Yes. Always. Shirley. Wow. I have no words. Perfection. The best part of the episode. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, bye. I was really, really glad she came back in as a giggle. And looks like she's coming back in series 14. Because she's fun.
She's a new character.
Yeah, and I really, because I always loved Ruth Madeley from Years and Years.
Yeah, loved her in Years and Years. Yeah.
So I was very glad. Again, I think her first sort of couple of scenes are like, well, the first time she interacts with the Doctor is a bit weirdly executed, but you know, generally, she's the best character in the episode.
She's just an incredible actress, first of all. And I think, secondly, I just think... I like that we've got a fresh new character who is... You can tell she's going to be a regular from now on, which is wonderful. And I just think... She's just one of those actors where it's like, she could be on the screen for 10 seconds and I'd be like, ugh, slay. Like, imagine, like, stealing the whole scene. Imagine.
But again, I don't want to be like, yeah, this is badly done. But the scene in my mind that sticks out as being the most awkward is when she dismisses the doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She goes, go on, you shift, you know, whatever.
Valid.
But then watches him leave. But she's just told him to go because she was going to investigate something. So why she's in the next scene. And it's a shame that that happens as well, because, like, it's the cuntiest way a man has ever entered a truck. Let me tell you that.
It's so good. Yeah.
And I'm confused why she's there the whole time. I'm like, no. They shouldn't be distracting me from David's little, you know, run, climb and cross leg down on a chair.
It's so good.
It is. Because she's not meant to be there. Odd.
No, it's... Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, those little, like, kind of, like, blocking things where it's like... Okay, sure.
Blocking is bad.
That's it. Is that what you were looking for? Bad. Blocking, yeah.
I think it might be the blocking.
I think it's the blocking. I think that's what it is.
Like, even the first scene when she meets the doctor and he's, like, kind of sat there and, you know, she kind of, like, enters the scene and, you know, it's shot like a reveal, but we don't... No, you know, it's all just, there's like a pan over to her, and I'm like, why are we doing this? We just do it in like a wide or a mid or so. It just feels weird. I don't know.
It's the blocking for sure. That's absolutely what it is, I think.
It's the blocking.
I just want to say, while we're here, really quickly, I want to just mention David real quick. So obviously, David Tennant's back. Heard of it?
Since when?
Heard of her? Heard of her? I love David in these specials. I love 14 a lot, actually. I didn't realise just how much I'd love 14, because he's 10, but without the whiny, weird, problematic bits. Slay.
Yeah, Slay. I do kind of miss some of the fire and the fury, but, you know.
Yeah, again, but like...
I like my doctor to be... Dick, you know.
Do you know what 14 is? And I know people are going to go, oh, of course you said that. Don't care. Get out of here. He's the girly pop version. Come on.
I need to. I don't care. Get out of here. Oh.
He's the girly pop version. He's a girly pop.
But, you know, I like my spiky doctors. If you said to me, you know, who are your favourite doctors? You know, my inbuilt response is always, it's a toss-up between 1, 7, and 9. Because they have hearts of gold, but they can also be very, very nasty. But all of that is erased by my love of the 15th Doctor. But that's for another time.
That's for another time! Can't wait. Oh my god. But yeah, no, I just...
So good. Why is he so good?
He's so good.
Why?
Oh, man.
Why is he so good, though? Like, it's bizarre. It's like he was built in a lab to play Doctor Who. It's really weird.
Save it. So, okay. So continuing on from things we love... Let's get to the meat. I'm sorry, I can't hold it in anymore. It must be spoken about. I would die for the meat.
And you probably would.
Yep.
Because the meat would either kill you or the meat would, I don't know, infect you with solar psychedelia.
And you know what? I'd be happy to take anything the meat would. We are meat sympathisers, you know. He's the best guy around. What about the, you know, what about the people he killed? What murder? Whatever the bloody meme goes. I don't know. That's...
Wow, incredible. That could have been a great back and forth, you know?
No, I know. I fucked it up. Anyway.
It's not as good as the... And I can't remember the person who made it, so, you know, no credit goes to you. But if you did, hi, thank you. It's funny. The best thing to come out of this was the edit that person made on Twitter that I sent you of... it starts like it has the Torchwood opening credits. it's then Meep doing my immaculate impression of "to hell with this" and pulling out the little blaster, and then a shot of Gwen and Yanto just firing assault rifles, and then it cuts to credits, and it's really funny.
It was so funny. It took me out. Like, all of the Meep fan edits, the fan cams, I've cried at all of them. All of them. The bit that always gets me, and even again watching it last night, it was when Meep was like, "Please be my friend. Why would you be my friend? Be my friend." I cry every time, even though it's fake. 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 The Meep gets me every time.
I like the scream that the Meep lets out when Rose takes the stuffing out of the...
Yeah.
The Meep's like, "You ripped its tummy out."
It's so... Miriam Margolyes, the woman you are, the only woman to ever exist, first of all, my lesbian queen. I mean, we all knew the Meep was evil, right? But even in the episode, right? Literally, I mean, I'm one of those people that always forgets things, and like, I never see the things coming because I'm an idiot, I guess. I don't know. But it's like when the Meep goes, to hell with this. I was like, you what?
So no, you get lost in the storytelling.
I do. Absolutely. Like, I really get lost in it. And it was like when the Meep was like, to hell with this, which just, the delivery. Oh, the delivery. So good. I literally went, no, like literally, I was shocked. I was like, what?
It's because she's just like eating all the time. Miriam is so good.
Yeah.
She's so good at the cuteness, but she's also so good at the evilness. It's so, I want to see the complete unedited footage of her recording those lines.
Me too.
Because you know, there's so much swearing.
Oh, yeah, like, farting. Fucking hell. It's a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
Which is not how she sounds at all, but yeah.
No, you know that basically there's a really famous meme of her in a swimsuit and she like nearly slipped over in a pool and she's like, oh, it's a fucking nightmare. Like, she says it like that. It's so great. You need to seek it out, Elliot and everyone else. So good.
You know, the one I always think of is the radio show of her meeting where it's like Jeremy Hunt and she's like, yeah, what I wanted to say was fuck you.
But you just can't say that.
You fucking bastard.
I love her. I love her so much. And yeah, she's amazing. But yeah, with the Meep, right? I think what I found the most impressive, actually, as you know, Miriam is just so good at the voice and everything, but the practical mixed with the visual effects. So again, on Unleashed, have you heard of it? they actually built a Meep, like multiple Meeps, and it's fantastic, looks absolutely fantastic, but then they just did a little bit of practical effects on the face and it's so good, it just works. And there's so much of that in the specials, especially with the practical and the visual effects mixed together, like the Wrath Warriors. That was another one where the Wrath Warriors I think look fantastic. I don't know about you, but I loved their design.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, the Meep looks amazing, the Wrath Warriors look fantastic. I'm trying to think of like other that are in the specials, but I mean obviously you get the goblins in Church on Ruby Road that look incredible. Again, that's what I want from a budget, is I want like still kind of cheap looking CGI, but I want all of the creatures to be like prac builds with like CGI enhancements, and it's cool.
Man.
But that's what we're getting.
Man, we've been fed, haven't we? Haven't we?
We have.
My stomach is so full. I've just been fed by, the whole Bad Wolf Studios. Thank you for all of your services. Jesus Christ. I mean, again, I mentioned the Sonic earlier, you know. As much as I personally wanted more of an intro to the Sonic, I mean, I love the design of the Sonic a lot. And the new features, which I hope are here to stay. My favourite feature is the kind of force field, the shield that the Doctor drew.
Yeah, like if you're going to have the Sonic, at least have it do things, you know? And just the idea of having LED displays is so good as well, you know? Because right now they don't have to read it off like a little monitor that's actually not there.
That you can't see, that just isn't that there, yeah.
So it's completely pointless, you know? It's good, I like it. It makes it actually feel like a practical tool. And, you know, the force fields aren't indestructible, so they can't just be used to get out of scenarios. You know, you can't just draw a force field, and you know, because they will just be destroyed. Like,
yeah.
They're not, you know. I can't think of the plot term, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. It's, and I will say that whole scene in the corridor was fantastic. And I mean, R.I.P. to Donna's house.
Yeah, especially because it's, yeah, the doctor's at the end of the giggle, spoilers, but you know what's going on there.
But
yeah, it's probably my favorite scene quince in the episode. It has some of the best lines, and it's really fun. Yeah. I like the pacing of all this stuff.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good. Something I don't want this episode to be without, we have to talk about this, I think, is with Donna coming back, the way it was done. So I truly, and I'm saying this from my chest, I really, really mean this wholeheartedly. I really don't care, and I mean this really, I don't care that the whole thing with Donna forgetting the Doctor was resolved like that. Don't care. I'm so happy with how that was resolved, even though it was rushed and it was like, oh, okay, we're just, you know, we're letting go and that's it. Play, you know. And I get, but the thing is though, I do get why people are upset about it. Like, oh, you know, that really beautiful emotional end in series four. And it's just kind of been undone with all of this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but I like it. So
the reasoning that I like to take from it is there's that line from David when right towards the end where she's like, well, all this other stuff's been resolved, but why does your face come back? And he's like, oh, does there have to be a reason?
Yeah. But
no, there doesn't. Sometimes we can just
have
fun.
It really doesn't.
But it really doesn't have to be. And I know that everyone likes to get all their little theory brains in a twist and they're like, you know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Sometimes it's just fun, isn't it?
Yeah, and but the thing is as well, though, what makes me laugh about that is that it has actually been explained. Like, in the past, it was said that, like, you know, the curator, right, who is the Doctor, the curator in the 50th said, sometimes I like to revisit the old favourites. Boom. It was literally answered 10 years ago.
Never explained how many of the other anniversary specials happen. They all just kind of happen. Like, it doesn't matter.
No, I can't even lie. Elliot and I are in our feels like, about this because the fandom has been pissing us off recently. Like, the amount of shit people are saying. The things that people complain about that first haven't happened yet, and second of all, are so silly. It's like,
I was never big into lore, so I just don't care.
I don't like
deeping things. I just don't really get it. Like, whenever I see people complain about how things, like why something happens in a movie, like, you know, Dan knows this, yeah, one of my favorite movies of all time is The Last Jedi. And when I see people like, you know, why had no one ever done the Holdo maneuver before? You know, how had no one thought of that? I'm like, oh, probably because no one had ever written it in a Star Wars movie before. Probably that's why.
Yeah, it's just
that's the reason. There doesn't need to be plot explanation for everything. You people are fucking boring. Sometimes it's because a writer hadn't thought of something until that movie, and then they do it. And that's all there is to it. And if you can't have fun with that, consider this. Sometimes it's cool as shit to do things.
Yeah.
And things should just be cool.
Yeah.
That's it. I've got, you know.
And babe, do you know what's so funny is, like, literally for years and years and years, when people weren't enjoying the show, people were saying, "Oh, bring David Tennant back, bring Ross Two Davies back." They did that, and you're still mad. So you just can't be pleased. Do you know what I mean? It's really boring now.
Like, no one's ever going to be happy, yeah. And nothing is beyond criticism. But, you know, I'm here for criticizing the things about an episode that I didn't like, that I thought didn't work, not about making things up in my head to get angry at.
I think what I found really funny about the community at the minute, and especially with like this episode, for example, is like, it's genuinely like, again, we're not, we don't love it. The two of us don't love it. But we realise that it's fun. It did the job. And we're just happy that Doctor Who is back and, you know, Russell's back. And let's just enjoy the positivity. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I just can't. But like...
Sorry, I also think sometimes, you know, when we say that, you know, we'd never encourage just liking a brand because it's a brand that you like, you know. And nothing is ever beyond criticism. But I think that there's a difference between, again, like us saying, yeah, this didn't really work for us, you know. But we're not going to sit and whine about it because, you know, that it's happened. Versus, you know, people who literally, they make it their business to just almost There are just groups and groups of people who make it their business to get upset. At Doctor Who. Regardless of what happens, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, back on track. So, last few points. Because not a lot actually happened. Sorry, like, not really.
They sort of run around a control room, didn't they, for a bit?
Well, here's the thing. So that control room, what I find really funny is in one of the trailers or like a clip that was released months ago, I forget, before the specials came out, everyone was like, oh, that's part of Jodie's TARDIS. I fully thought, I was like, oh, that's part of the TARDIS. It fully isn't.
No, I thought you were going to say that, like, most people thought it was from Wild Blue Yonder.
I thought it was from Wild Blue Yonder as well. No, yes, actually, that as well.
I would have assumed it was from Wild Blue Yonder.
Yeah, no, because I think they actually did say that was part of it in one of the trailers, but we were duped, whatever. But something that, you know, really lovely. So at the end, right, what I really loved was obviously when the Doctor Donna is back. And like I said, I don't care how easy the solution was. I really don't. Like, it, you know, the passed down inheritance with Rose, all of that. It just put a smile on my face. I was like, I love Donna being happy. I love Donna actually, you know, having a good outcome, because I love her. And I just like, I like when my girlies stay winning. Do you know what I mean? And I love that there was like these code words that kind of activated the Doctor Donna. It was giving Bucky Barnes. It was giving the Winter Soldier. I was here for it.
For me, it was giving, and this is, it's positive because this actually has a reason. But for me, it was giving Blossomiest Blossom.
Yes.
Because it was all very pelican, cliff top, breeze.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, but then, you know, binary. And the way I thought, and again, this is me being naive, the way I thought Donna was fully about to die, even though we've seen clips of her from other episodes, I sat there crying. I was like, they're killing Donna. Like, literally, my partner was looking at me like, oh my God, she's about to lose her shit. I was literally distraught. I was like, they're going to kill Donna Noble. They're going to kill her. Oh my God. And then when she woke up, I was like, I'm so stupid.
Isn't everyone fell for it at the end of Wild Blue Yonder?
I did. I was like, no, but the thing is, everyone thought that Donna was going to die. I thought Donna was going to die at some point. And I'm so glad she didn't. Spoiler. But I'm so glad that she didn't.
I mean, I would have been surprised just because of the amount of Rusty Davies being like, you know, oh, and that's when this bad thing happens to die. You know, it was so purposefully done that I'd be like, oh, if she actually has a very sad ending, that will be a really weird way to have told people.
Yeah. No, I know. But I am naive, babe. I'm nothing if not naive. But yeah, and you know, the whole thing with Rose kind of inheriting the shared inheritance, going down the bloodline. So she had the kind of, you know, she also inherited the Doctor Donna. What's it called? I forget the...
I mean, I suppose, oh, it's I don't know. Is it Metacrisis? Is that
the Metacrisis! The Metacrisis! Yes! Oh, for God's sake.
Metacrisis Doctor.
We got there. The Metacrisis. So all of that. And I like how, it is very silly, but I like how when, like I said earlier, with the, you know, male presenting Time Lord will never understand, you know. We can just let it go. Slay. I love it. We know everything. Again, and you know nothing.
Like, I like that. I really like that moment.
I love that moment. I think it's really nice. I like it. And Sean just watching his two women in his life that he loves so much, just fucking, just being so beautiful and taking up space. And it's so lovely. And he's just like, I'm just a man.
And again,
I'm just a man.
You can have your own opinions on it. You know, I'm not necessarily qualified to talk about it. You know, neither of us are. And people feel very different ways about, you know, sort of the revelations of Rose's character. But hearing the words binary, non-binary, then followed you know, Time Lord is man, woman, you know, and whatever it isn't like, you know, and everything in between.
Yeah, just all of that
is magical to me personally, because it's going to be very personal, isn't it? You know, if it, like, but it's how I choose to view my own gender. Is not this sort of, it's not a secret third thing, you know. It's not a, you know, it's a sort of existing on a higher plane of understanding of human comprehension.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's actually really beautiful.
I've transcended the need for your gender constructs. That's, you know, so hearing a character in a mainstream TV show talk about that was fucking sick as fuck.
It's sick as fuck, and I love it. It's just, oh. And honestly, this episode was low-key for the queers. I mean, all of it was. I mean, all the specials were. But something that was especially queer-coded for me was the coffee machine on the TARDIS. That is so bisexual-coded. That is so tote bag girly, oat milk latte-coded. All of that. I mean, we've spoken about how we feel about the new TARDIS before. It's actually grown on me a hell of a lot. The TARDIS reveal at first, we both said, didn't we? Very sparse, very bare. Don't know how I feel about it.
As soon as it changes from harsh white lighting, it looks fine.
Yeah. And also when Shuti Gat was standing in it, it, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
Blah, 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 you know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, I've actually really loved the new TARDIS. I can't even lie. Like, I actually really, really love it. And also for all the other reasons, which we'll get into in the giggle and stuff. But, you know.
But again, like, I watched it and I went, oh, yeah, okay. Not overly fond of that. And then moved on with my life.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not, oh yeah, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. But yeah, and babe, let me ask you this before we get into the wrap up. Do you not love that at the end of this episode, you know, they could have done a lovely little transition, if you will, into the next thing or whatever. But they did the most basic but incredible cliffhanger. You know, the we could be going anywhere in time and space, and you're like, oh, eye roll. But it's the fact that Donna dropped coffee on the console and then went, oh my god, I did it again.
She didn't even drop coffee. She's like gesturing with her coffee hand.
Yeah.
Again, it reminds me of the way that she throws that cup of coffee reminds me of the way that in Partners in Crime when they're doing the miming and she does the like with the it just reminds me of that. It's so good. Yeah, and you know it's probably not my favorite line, but you know that it's one of my favorite lines. Is the oh my god, I did it again.
Did it again.
The funniest thing that Catherine Tate's ever said.
I think it's the funniest thing she's ever done. That is the peak of her career. Is that moment? It's so good. The way she says it and everything. But
she has so many good lines in this, and my favorite lines are going to be clogged with things that she says.
Oh yeah. You know, Donna Noble is the boss, but also, who is the boss? We'll wait and see.
Donna Noble has Slade.
Donna Noble has Slade in the library. The library. The library found dead in a ditch. So, we are at the up where we talk about our standout moment, what didn't work, our most doctory moment, the new segment, very fresh, the best pronunciation, the best David Tennant pronunciation of the episode, and our favorite quotes. Elliot, as always, going right over to you. Standout moment / moments from the Star Beast.
This is probably quite hard because I don't know if there was like no moment that I'm like, ah, that's the moment I would rewatch this episode for. But I do think the escape from the house, crossing the lofts, is very fun. It's just it's nice when it slows down before that. You get some good character stuff, and then you know you get one of my favorite. I don't want to call it a trope, but like learning about characters through action scenes is always a fun way to do character stuff. And yeah, it's just enjoyable to watch that moment. I enjoy, you know. This is like a screwdriver. It's good at one thing, it's resonating concrete. And then, you know, Sean can't help but be a man and be like, well, actually, it's mortar.
I love Sean.
Stuff. Not a favourite line, but just fun stuff.
I just love Sean, honestly. No, I really like that as well. I love all the stuff in the house. Oh my God, my house! You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Donna, I feel you, babe. But also, you did give away so much money, you stupid woman. I'm sorry,
not,
I just couldn't.
Aliens, not real. There's a bloody Martian in the shed.
It's so good. So good.
Love her.
Love Donna Noble.
Oh, actually, sorry. You know? I was just going to slip in probably, but my actual probably standoutest moment of all that house stuff is the moment when Sylvia's doing all of the, you know, like, oh, no, you know, the meep's not there. You can't see it. It's not real. And then the doctor like knocks on the door and is like, you know, he's like, let me in. The way Sylvia turns and goes, you.
Is actually, so, that's pretty
she
good.
She looks like she's going to sprint at that door with so much fury. I love it. Close
14th Doctor found dead in a ditch.
Close second would be Donna speaking so loudly that the Doctor can hear her about 10 doors away on a random street in London.
Honestly, though, me. Like,
that's how I find your house. Yeah.
That is how you found my house, because I'm just like, sleigh, boots, gag and goodle, doodle. Yeah, and then you just, you're like, oh, there she is. anyway, my standout moment is probably a bit of a cop-out, because it is. Anything and everything to do with the Meep.
Fair.
Meep, meep. Meep, meep. How have we not done that yet? How?
And how is every time it's in the episode, how is it funny every time?
It's absolute gags. It's gags.
Yeah, when they're sneaking through the houses and the Meep's just like crawling past meep, that guy meep. Listening to music on the sofa. Just meep, meep.
What didn't work for you in the Star Beast then?
I mean, I guess if I had to pick a scene, I suppose it would be Camden. But, I mean, just, you know, the blocking. Just the general direction. I just don't, it's not good or particularly well thought out. Or interesting or exciting or good. and kind of lets it down. Again, I think the script flows not perfectly but relatively well and is cohesive, but it's directed in such a way that makes it feel almost incomprehensible.
I have to agree with you on some of that. I mean, I personally really love Rachel's work, you know, but I do think this episode, I don't know what was going on.
I've not rewatched any Rachel Talalay episode for a very long time, so I don't know how I feel about the rest of her material.
Yeah.
But based on this, I'm like, maybe she's not that good.
Well, we'll find out when we get to series 9? Yeah, series 9.
Yeah, when I've got to watch Heaven Sent or whichever it is.
Yeah, that one.
The most pretentious, boring episode of Doctor Who ever made. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I don't agree, but anyway, we keep it moving. What didn't work for me was...
Yeah.
Now, this is a big one for me, actually. I can't even lie. I really can't even lie about this. Donna's memory being triggered so many times and nothing happening. Like, I obviously... I get why they had to kind of do this, but it's really silly because it's like, in the end of time, Donna sees the Master, right? Like, everyone turns into the Master and she sees a few little bits and bobs that aren't even that Doctor related, but she really... you know, her head's about to burn and she nearly died. She nearly died in the end of time.
I think we've argued about this before, though, because I maintain that, you know, when that happened at the end of time, it had been like a couple months since she had her mind
wiped.
And it's now been 15 years. And you also just get that line from the Doctor as well, when Sylvia's like, you know, oh, you know, you said if she sees you, she'll die. He's like, well, I said remember me. That's different.
No, but I know that. But then there's bits where it's like, this is a sonic screwdriver. And it's like, you know, things like that. And like, the Doctor was so anal about Donna never finding out about anything and being like, you can't tell her, she'll die, she'll die. And then in the episode, he was like, well, you know, I don't know. I thought that was very silly. I thought that was very, very silly. I just personally, I really didn't like that because I was like, oh, come on. She would have like, literally her head would have been blown off by now. This is ridiculous. But anyway. Whatever. That's how I feel about it.
Disagree.
Well, that's how I feel. So, pack off. I've had enough.
Good. You're wrong.
Yeah. I'm not. But anyway, most Doctor-y moment.
I mean, there's quite a few, isn't there?
There's a lot in this. I had to really think.
I'm going to say that if I could associate Tenth Doctor specifically. Or the tenth doctor specifically, whether it's 10 or 14. I am going to say probably the cunty little way he sits in the back of that lorry.
No, actually, you're so valid. Yes.
It's a little jog and, you know, whatever. But there are so many good moments. I mean, just like, I don't know how David can say things the exact same way that he used to. When you find out that Kate is, like, paying for Wilf to be kept in a home, and he just goes, oh. Kate Lethbridge-Stewart's looking after Wilford. Brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant. It's like, how can you say brilliant the same way you were able to say brilliant like 20 years ago? That is absurd.
It's absurdly incredible. David Tennant, the only man.
so yeah, there's loads of little moments like that. But yeah, Laurie sitting.
So girly pop. I told you, he is the girly pop Doctor. for me, the most Doctor-y moment is really specific. And for me, this was like the only proper answer, in my opinion. This was like the only one that I could say, which was when they're in the little rocket thing with 14 and Donna in the little room, the rocket thing. I don't know what to call it, but that room, that blue room. And he's just climbing the walls, trying to reach things. He's full on just like a spider climbing on the walls. And I was like, there's my boy. There's my boy.
There he is. And I've missed RTD technical jargon.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're going to flip the hyperflagic extrapolator. Like, what does that even mean? But I love it. Yeah.
It's so fun. What's your favourite pronunciation of the episode? Oh, that feels good to say. Love a new segment.
And I get to have the first answer of a new segment. It always makes me feel good. And for me, there's only one right answer, and I'm going to have to give the quote its full context to prepare for a slight performance. It's, you know, Doctor, there's one word for you, jammy. Jam on toast.
Yeah.
Love the way he says, on toast.
On toast. Toast.
Very good.
Oh, it
comes
brilliant.
Out of nowhere. Very good. Jam on toast.
That's so. Your answer is the correct answer. I'm going to give another one just to be different.
There are many, many good ones in this.
There are, but I really like it when he goes, "It's working." He's so excited, and it's really cute, and I love it.
Maybe close second would be the sort of just. The shriek that he lets out when he jumps up and down on the spot about the TARDIS.
It's gorgeous! Ah! Oh, so cute. So cute. That's us when a new BNM figure set gets released. It's gorgeous! Except half the time it isn't, because there's always remade stuff. But anyway, whatever. Anyway, so, favourite quote, /quote, Elliot, babe. Oh. Here we go.
How much time have you got?
We've got time for this. Let's go. Go on.
Yeah.
Go on, darling.
Might have to go
on,
tit for tat.
Okay, let's go tit for tat. You go first.
But if I'm speaking my truth, the one that always makes me laugh the most whenever I hear it, and it was the same first time around when it was broadcast, and I don't know why, and I can't even do the delivery of the line justice, it's just when Donna says we could sell Mad Paddington there for £1 million. Just the phrase Mad Paddington is so good, and the way that she delivers the phrase Mad Paddington just sends me every time I hear it.
It's so good, isn't it? It's so good. Oh. I love Catherine Tate.
I don't know why that's so funny. I just
love Catherine Tate.
It gets me. but I have many, many more.
Okay, so I'm just going to say it. We've said it already, but I'm going to say it, and I'm sorry, because you've got it written down, definitely, is... Oh no, I've done it again! Just
I didn't even write it down just out of the fact that I just...
Oh, okay, fine.
It was such a given, you know?
Yeah, I had to have it written down, but there we go. Anyway.
I understand. Yeah.
Give us your other one.
I mean, honestly, I could just keep going. Another underrated one that I really like that really makes me laugh is just when Rose asks to come along in the TARDIS. She goes, no, because you'll end up on Mars with Chaucer and a robot shark. And that's actually happened. And then just the way the 10, just the way the 14 just kind of goes, yep.
Yep.
So yeah, yep. That's actually happened. Yeah.
So brilliant.
Mars, Chaucer,
so
Robot Shark. Big Finish currently scrambling to write that story as we speak.
I need to see it. Really quick, if we were going to do a Tate pronunciation, as in Catherine Tate pronunciation, mine would be Neris. That viper in the nest.
Oh, my, yeah. I don't know, my...
So
yeah,
good.
Mine would probably be... I don't know, because I quite... Mine would probably be the, you know, there's a bloody Martian in the shed, because that's quite
good. That's pretty good, yeah.
But I also do quite like the get off me, you space rat.
Rat. You rat.
Just the it talks. all of that's so good.
Oh, anyway, speaking of Donna, my next favourite quote is Donna Noble is descending. Boy, 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 boy. I love it. I need that on a t-shirt. I need that on a t-shirt.
I mean, because hand in hand with that, I hadn't written it down, but I do also like the, you know, like the, but if anybody gives you trouble, I will be there and I will descend.
So good.
Very
Lioness. Very good. Lioness. So good. What's your other one?
I mean, again, I've got about three.
Okay.
I love, again, underrated, but it goes hand in hand with something that I also love from, like, previous, like, David Tennant stories. I just like the cryptic. I hate that.
Yeah.
Fun.
It's so fun. It's so good. We love calling ourselves out. It's fun. Love it. Really quick, already said it, but my other one is, we know everything, thanks, and you know nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love, again, yeah, I suppose it's not a line, it's multiple lines, but I love the, you know, the Sean walking back in and all the chaos. He's going, something smells good. Tuna Madras. Meep, meep.
So good!
I don't know. Sylvie's exasperated look as she just points and goes, Tuna Madras. And then just enunciated with a meep, meep.
Yeah. I love this show. I love this flipping TV show so much. I really do. I really do. So my last quote is, we are binary. She's not, because the doctor's male and female and neither and more. I love it.
Lovely.
Just beautiful.
Yeah. I'm glad you wrote it down because I bungled that earlier.
Well, no, it's the way I love the way Yasmin Finney says, and neither and more. Just like the way she kind of says it. I don't know. I really love the way she delivers that line. It's really beautiful. So good. So good.
It is. The regeneration effect on her is amazing, by the way. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
She looks stunning.
We mentioned it earlier, like, you know, again, some of her reactions were a little bit off. Like, when the ship crashes and she's like, oh my God, and it's a bit off. But
yeah, I was being flippant when I was saying maybe she's bad. She's not, but like, there are a couple of times where, yeah, she's just a bit like, wow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But there's other bits where she's doing phenomenal, so.
Exactly, yeah. Just thought I'd clarify that. But anyway, quote, babe.
I've just actually gone for a bit of a soppy one. I don't know. I just quite like
go on.
I like when 14 asks Donna why she got rid of the lottery money, and she's, because out there are people who are in danger or in pain and who live in fear, and I could help. It just sort of felt like the thing that he'd do.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, because there's so much speculation about why they don't have money. And, you know, I like, there was obviously some theories about, you know, maybe, you know, paying for, like, Rose's transition and things like that.
Yeah.
Which
is
good. Not quite $160 million worth, you know.
Yeah. Like,
you know. But that would have been a good line. But I just like that she gave it all away. She gave it to charity because there are people who need it better than she does. I love that.
So, what are you giving the Star Beast out of 5, babe? Because don't get it twisted. We are going to rank all three in order at the end of the giggle. But right now, out of 5, the Star Beast.
Look, as much as I'm complaining about it, I think it's fine. And to mark how much it's fine, I've given it a 2.5.
Okay.
Like, exactly half marks. It's not even worth kind of getting annoyed about how bad some of it is. I just kind of go, it's a shrug of an episode for me.
Sure.
So, fair half marks. Yeah, just,
I've been a bit more generous than you have.
Fair.
Because overall, when I'm in the episode, I'm engaged, I am following, I'm not really thinking about, like, I'm not checked out at all. I'm fully in there. It's just there's quite a few elements that don't gel. But overall, for me, it's a 3.5 out of 5.
Fair.
Yeah. It's you know, I will be watching this again many, many times, you know, and having a good time. But there are bits where I'm just like, I don't know, but I can forgive it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the good news is, you know, if you don't like the negativity and you thought, you know, oh God, you know, they've been really negative about that, it's the worst one of Wild Blue Yonder, of The Giggle, and of Church on Ruby Road. So we can only go up from here. And I can't stress, I really don't have much negativity about Wobbly on the Church on Ruby Road or The Giggle.
Save it.
Which might not be true on a rewatch, but at the moment, nothing bad to say. Really?
Spoilers. But well,
that's
anyway,
all right,
no,
then.
Oh wow. No, honestly, so much more fun to come. Stay tuned, everybody, because we've just scratched the surface, man. We've just scratched the surface. We're back. We're well oiled. We're getting into it, and it's a meal.
2K24 is our bloody year.
No, it actually is.
I think we said that about 2023, but it's happening.
For the podcast, trust, especially, it's the year. It's going to be very slay.
Well, that brings the curtains down on another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pond podcast. I hope you had fun. We sure did. It's so, so good to be back. All of your patience paid off. Patience is a virtue. And if you'd like what you heard, you can support the show over on Patreon, patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. Like Jason, like Lucy, and like Bumping Ernie, they're three of my best friends. Maybe more changes to the Patreon to come at the moment. That's as it stands. Come Along Pond podcast over on Patreon. Chuck us some money. However, if you want to just show us some support and love in general, email us, comealongpondpod@gmail.com. Oh my God, Michelle, Ryan, Carolina, I love those people. And if you want me to love you, send us an email. It will get read. If I like your name, I'll read it out. If I like what you got to say, I'll read it out. Don't worry about the backlog. Just share the love. Alternatively, we're on TikTok. I know that's probably how you found us, but TikTok.com/comealongpondpodcast. We post highlights, lowlights, fun little moments, so you can check us out over there. Alternatively, your one-stop shop is the Instagram. Oh. Reels. Polls. Instagram Lives. So many wonderful, amazing things. We are almost at 7,000 of you crazy, crazy people over there, and we really, really appreciate it. If you want updates about the show, when it's coming out. If you're thinking, God, this episode took a while to go out. If only I knew when it was coming out. Well, you would have known if you followed the Instagram. So do that. Come Along Pond Pod on Instagram. Come Along Pond Podcast. I can't even remember. We got the same artwork everywhere. You can't miss us. Shoot us a DM. I don't care. Just give us a follow.
Kidding.
We care. I love all 7,000 of you mad bastards. Mad Paddingtons. But with all of that being said, Damler, it's been lovely being joined by you this evening.
Same to you, my love. I'm so glad to be back. I've had so much fun. I always have so much fun doing this.
Back so good. Every other week is Cap Week. You are so welcome.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, who knows? Maybe one day we can make this more of a regular thing. Patreon, babe. Patreon.
Incidentally, it's been lovely talking to all of you at home as well.
And we give you air from our lungs. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye now.
Bye bye now. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Meet me.
Can't wait for next week. I'm going to have some coleslaw with my tuna madras.
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
Fenslaw, coleslaw.
Meet me.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.